Welcome to Don't Give Up on Testicular Cancer, where cancer survivors, caregivers, and others touched by cancer share their stories. The Max Mallory Foundation presents this podcast in honor and memory of Max Mallory, who died at age 22 from testicular cancer. I'm your host, Joyce Lofstrom, a young adult and adult cancer survivor, and Max's mom. Hi, this is Joyce, and with me today is Andy Storch, and Andy is a survivor of testicular cancer and continues to build his successful business in his career as an author, a coach, husband, and father. He hosts three podcasts and is a positive business leader who wants to get the most out of his own life and inspire others to do the same. We will talk about that during our conversation. He's taught strategy, sales, leadership, finance, and innovation to business leaders all over the world. He's going to tell us more about his cancer journey and his ongoing entrepreneurial spirit. So, Andy, I'm so glad you could join me today.
Joyce, thank you so much for having me. I'm really honored to be here. I know that you're doing this show in honor of your son, and to be part of this mission and hopefully be able to help others means a lot to me.
Well, thanks. I really appreciate that. And it's people like you who've been through this journey that can help all of us. So why don't you start off and tell us a little bit about your journey?
Sure. Yeah. So I, as you mentioned, I'm a husband and father. I run my own business. And after going through a challenging year in 2020, as many of us did, my whole business was shut down by COVID, and I kind of reinvented myself and was starting to really get into my stride and building a new business. And then after running some successful events within the business, I took a vacation in September 2020. And when I came back, I started experiencing some pain and discomfort in my abdomen area, my stomach. And, I tried to, wait out and see if it would get better for 2-3 weeks. And it didn't really get any better. And finally, my wife convinced me to go see a doctor and get it checked out, and had an X-ray and a CT scan, and didn't find anything convincing, but also suggested that it possible that it could be cancer related. And so I went to see an oncologist who looked at me and said, there's a chance this could be testicular cancer. You might want to do an examination and see this urologist. And it was at that point that I did a self-examination and found a lump on my left testicle. And it was one of those, I'll say, as a typical man who kind of just ignores problems and tries to power through things. It was one of those moments where, my wife is like, "You didn't notice this before?" And it's like, "Oh, I just thought that was like a normal thing." But no, it was like a giant lump on my testicles. So okay, we should definitely go get this checked out. And so I went to see a urologist, which I hadn't done before. He put his hands down there, and it took him like 3 seconds. And he's like, "Yep, you've got a lump there. This is most likely testicular cancer. You've got to have your testicle removed. I can do it next Wednesday."
Wow.
And it's kind of like, whoa, this is this is all moving a little bit fast, right? This is kind of a shocking moment. I didn't necessarily think this is what this is going to be. Luckily, up to this point, I've been doing a lot of personal development work, mindfulness work, studying on mindset, and like working on being able to handle a lot of different challenges. I wrote about it in my book, which I had been working on throughout most of 2020. And because I was just about to publish the book and my wife had some plans to go out of town, we decided to postpone the surgery by 2 weeks, I think, or 3 weeks. And my family wasn't too happy about that, but it was, kind of the best decision for us. And the urologist seemed to be okay with it. It wasn't like an emergency. And so I got my book published.
That's great.
Yeah, thank you. I knew once we did this, it would like throw everything off. So I got the book published on November 16th. And then on November 18th, I had surgery to remove my left testicle. And this kind of put a damper on my plans for like my marketing campaign to go out there and be marketing the book. But obviously, health is top priority at all times. So had the surgery, made it through that okay. And I shared about it on social media, and that was actually worked out quite well because I ended up connecting with several other people and finding out other men in my network had also gone through testicular cancer, right? It's one of those things like you don't realize it until you put it out there and start talking to people. A friend of mine from college my neighbor next door had gone through it at 18, friend from college at maybe 25 or something. By the way, I was 40 years old when this happened. And as you probably know, Joyce, testicular cancer is a young man's disease.
Right, right.
It typically affects men between 18 to 40. And I was at the very top of that window when I got mine. And so I was hoping, you know, many people talked about finding it early, having the surgery and pretty much being done with it, right? No tests showing,
right.
Nothing else being there, being very lucky. I unfortunately waited too long, like many men do. And I know that happened with your son as well. And, so I was still experiencing a lot of discomfort. I went and got a CT scan and a PET scan and met with an oncologist who found the results showed that the cancer had spread throughout my stomach and all the way up to my neck. And I had these lymph nodes, these enlarged lymph nodes that were just bulging out of my neck. And again, it was one of those moments of like, oh, I didn't really think that was anything, you know, going to the doctor about, but it turns out it really was. That was also part of the cause of my extreme discomfort. I was extremely backed up. And it was because I think these lymph nodes were swollen and kind of pressing on my organs. And so I was having a hard time. And you know, a lot of people don't, when it's internal like that, a lot of doctors still don't know what's going on. You know, I went back to my urologist for my checkup and told him I was still experiencing a lot of stomach pain. And he said, well, that's probably a side effect of the pain medicine that pain medications that we gave you. And I, after the surgery, and I said, well, that's interesting because I never took any of them because I'm a bit of a naturalist and I try to avoid that pharmaceuticals if I can. And so I didn't take any of the pain meds. And he's like, oh, well, then I don't know what it is, right? So a lot of people didn't. I ended up going to the ER one night, spending several hours there for them to tell me they have no idea what it is and I should just go take some Metamucil and try to flush it out. It was really frustrating because, of course, they sent me a really expensive hospital bill. But that's the system we live in now. Anyway, I found out later that it was actually pancreatitis that I was experiencing and, the lymph nodes pushing on my organs. So my oncologist encouraged me to start chemotherapy as soon as possible. This was around Christmas time in 2020. And so we had to work around the holidays. I had already started doing a ton of research on cancer and nutrition and looking for ways to heal my body naturally. Several books that I read and was starting to, I changed my diet. I was taking a lot of different supplements, was investigating a lot of different natural options and hoping to take care of things that way. And so when she first suggested chemo, I politely declined and said, I'm going to try some other stuff first and see what happens. We did, we actually invested a lot of money in trying some different things. A lot of natural therapies, again, mentioned, changed my diet, was taking a lot of supplements, juicing, things like that. And it may have been working, but unfortunately, in January 2021, I was experiencing so much pain at some point that my wife finally forced me to start taking the painkillers, and we decided to go into the hospital and start the chemotherapy. And so I ended up going to the hospital for 5 days. We did the chemo, first cycle of chemo. After that, I was still in a lot of pain when I went to see my oncologist, and she figured out right away that it was pancreatitis. And once they flushed me, sat there and got fluids for 5 hours straight, it almost it went away. It would never came back at that point. It was one of those things where all I really needed was fluids and nobody ever figured it out before. So I continued with the chemo at a much slower pace than most people probably would, because I would come back and then find out that my blood cells, count was low, white blood cell count was low, and they would want me to take medication to get those back up. And I refused that. And they said, okay, well, let's just wait then. So then I wait a few more days and come back. And eventually I finished 2 cycles of chemo. And I was very hopeful that that would pretty much take care of it, because I wanted to limit the amount of the chemotherapy I put in my body, because I see that as a toxic chemical. It's basically poison for your body, right? And the idea is that it kills the cancer, but it also negatively impacts a lot of other aspects of your health. And so I wanted to limit that. It was a kind of a necessary evil. And so after 2 cycles of chemo, I had some tests done and came back, and my oncologist, who was wonderful, by the way, said that you know, it looked like most of it had gone from my, it was gone from my neck. There's still a little bit left in my stomach. She wanted me to do one more cycle of chemo. That was a tough spot. I was, because I didn't want to do any more. So I took a weekend to really think about it and talk with my wife about it. And ultimately we decided to decline the last cycle of chemo and not do any more of that. And then invest in other natural therapies. And that was in March, April, I think April, 2021. And I've been working on healing ever since then. As I mentioned, plant-based diet, a lot of juicing and supplements and other things throughout the time that I was going through chemo. I also did a lot of high-dose intravenous vitamin C, because I had read research that that was very helpful with cancer and chemo. And that's one of those things like you got to pay out of pocket and find somebody that does it, because doctors don't really support that kind of thing. It took several months to go get the final scan, but I got one more scan done in December 2021, just a few months ago, and got a call from my oncologist. I think it was in January that finally gave me the all clear. The results showed that I was officially cancer-free and remission, whatever you want to call it, done with the cancer. And I was, you know, obviously really happy about that and excited. And I'm sure you might have more questions, but just to go back to like what I was saying about asking a lot of questions and, you know, I refuse some things that doctors recommended. I'm a big proponent and fan of taking a holistic approach, really owning your health and looking for asking a lot of questions and looking at alternative ideas, not just listening to what doctors suggest. However, that doesn't mean that my approach was the best approach or a different approach wouldn't be better for some people. Some people are in much more dire situations. You've got to just listen to your doctor, right? That's just what my journey was. And fortunately, it worked out pretty well for me.
Well, it did. And I find it really interesting that, a couple of things, all the research that you did about alternative treatments, which I think is helpful to know that, and just changing your diet and things like that, which probably for overall health is a good idea. I mean, it's all very personal, but I personally like the idea of a plant-based diet and try to follow that. Some fish and chicken, but you know, it's so I applaud you on that. And I think the point you made is really important, Andy, because it's this disease, like any cancer, it is personalized. What happens to you won't happen to somebody else. And so you've got to make those decisions, and you did. And I'm glad it was successful. So, you know, because chemo's brutal, it's a really hard thing to get through. I know
it's the worst thing I've ever done. I mean, it's absolutely brutal. I know you went through it with your son, and it's just, it's awful. And of course I wanted to minimize that. And, you know, a lot of people told me how courageous and how strong I was. And I don't think that's the case at all. I did what I needed to do, and I ran away from it as soon as I could. I mean, I have friends who have breast cancer, who have gone through breast cancer, who have done way more chemo than I have. And I just don't know how they've gone through it, because when I was given, you know, when I was faced with that decision of doing more, I said, there's no way I'm going to do any more. I'm going to do everything I can to avoid it. But I was in a situation where I felt like I had enough information and ability to impact things without doing that. You know, like you said, everybody's situation is different depending on how far it spread. You know, like going back to earlier, finding it, some guys find it early enough and they don't even, I've talked to a few people who did preventative chemo, but probably didn't even need it. You know, they told me that I think testicular cancer has like a 98% survival rate or something, but that obviously depends on how early or late you catch it, because when it's a lot later and it's spread like mine has and had, and like your son's had, then it's a whole different ballgame. And you got to take all that in consideration. But I'm just a big advocate of really taking a holistic approach, owning your health, and not just letting other people tell you what to do. Because doctors, you know, there are many good doctors, and of course, most of them have your best interest in mind, but they really don't, you know, they're just trying to solve this one problem that's in front of them, and they don't have to live with the consequences, you know. So giving you more chemo means better chance of killing the cancer, but then they're not going to be around 40 years later when you might have like major health problems or ramifications as a result, right? And then I would have many conversations with my oncologist who, again, she was wonderful. And we'd have open conversations. I'd say, you know, what about this? What about this? And she would openly say, admit, like, I don't really know anything other than chemo. So, you know, send me your research. We can talk about it. but that's all I've studied. They don't know much about nutrition and these other, you know, and there's evidence and stories of many people who have healed their cancer through, you know, nutrition and natural therapies. It takes a lot of discipline, but you don't get that information from doctors, unfortunately.
No, and I wondered about this with Max because there's a protocol and the protocol says ABC.
Yep.
Well, but what if, you know, maybe you need F in there or G or something else. And they're not really always open to that. And, and like you said, that's what they know. They know chemo and they have been successful. So I think patients, as you know now in our healthcare too, patients are hopefully getting more involved in their own health and looking at options. So I think it's good your doctor is open to it. And, you know, it's some education going on, I guess, both ways.
Yeah. And she would say, like, if I brought up the vitamin C, she'd say, well, I've heard that that can be helpful. I work with a bunch of old school doctors in my group. No one's here going to support it, but I support you if you want to go try it. You know, just put me in touch with the nurse so we can confirm some things. And that's what I did. I found a nurse with a local drip clinic, and I would just go see her once a week. She would like let my doctor know what she was doing. And I would sit there. She would give me 100,000 milligrams. We worked up to it, about 100,000 milligrams of vitamin C dripped into my IV over the course of probably about 4 hours. I would sit there just feeling awful, but, you know, committed to it because I knew that it would be helpful. And I think it was. All these things, you know, they add up. You really have no idea if they're helping or not, but you go on faith and say, well, I'm going to do everything I can to take care of this thing.
Yeah. And I think you also make a point. We want to emphasize this, that we're not saying don't do chemo. It's just to investigate what else you can do. So.
Right. Exactly. Just know, educate yourself and know what you're doing to yourself and to your body and that, you know, see if there's other options or can you do things to complement it? Because if you want to make sure you take care of the cancer, especially if you have testicular cancer, like you said, there's a very clear protocol and your doctors are going to tell you chemo is the solution. And so maybe you choose to do the chemo, but I recommend, you know, looking at ways that you can mitigate the effects and maybe even help it along so that it works faster.
So that kind of segues into a good discussion point on what was the biggest challenge that you faced? Because you're a very positive person. So I mean that as a compliment. You know, what was your challenge?
Well, this is almost going to sound like silly and trite, but like when I looked at this, I looked at it as a challenge. I was never really afraid that it wasn't, you know, that I wasn't going to make it or anything like that. I knew that the odds are in my favor and I was going to do what I could to be successful with it. But I was like annoyed that I love building my business and my brand and that I had to kind of stop doing that. The other challenge was because I was, you know, building a business, running my own business and it already kind of in transition and supporting a family as the sole breadwinner with a mortgage and kids that, you know, I was obviously worried that I wasn't going to be able to pay the bills and pay our mortgage payment and that sort of thing. So that was one of the biggest challenges was keeping income going since I couldn't work as much during those like 2 to 3 months, making all of that work. And then, you know, with the chemo, there was just some, as you know, going through with your son, there's just some really hard days. It was hard to sleep many times, especially after that first 5 days, that first round. I remember it was just like impossible to sleep. I was just up all night. I read a lot of sci-fi novels and just found other ways to pass the time because it was just, that was one of the, I've never had a big problem sleeping. I go to bed at 9 and fall asleep usually pretty quickly. But during that time period, it was really hard. And the other part of that on the other end was that I've always been like an early riser. I love getting up early and like taking care of a bunch of stuff. And I just could not get up. It was really hard to get up in the morning before say like 8 a.m. while I was, you know, on the chemo. And it was that way for several months after finishing, just kind of long-term effects of doing the chemo.
Right. Your body adjusting to everything too. So you mentioned your wife helping you or encouraging you to go to the doctor. Who was your support system during all of this?
So my wife had actually gone through cancer a year before. My wife had thyroid cancer. And, so she had a little bit of experience already with what we were facing. She had surgery to remove her thyroid and then, She also turned down the radiation. The doctors recommended didn't do any further treatment after that. But still like a lifelong commitment to medication once you get your thyroid taken out. But she was right there with me the entire time, supporting me throughout all of this. I have two kids, obviously, who are around, which, you know, they're not necessarily helping with a lot of things, but certainly providing that love and just and that purpose to be able to keep going. And then I have a great family. My mom lived a couple miles away and helped take care of me, you know, jumped in and took me to the doctor and whatever I needed. My dad and stepmom not too far away. And then just I'm very blessed to have a pretty big network of friends all over the world and a lot of people that would just check in with me on a regular basis. I was also sharing a lot of my journey and what I was doing and going through on social media and LinkedIn and Instagram and Facebook. And so that helped a lot of people know what was going on with me. And then, you know, a lot more people reached out as a result. Now that was my decision. I know other people are not necessarily comfortable with that. In fact, I had multiple people reach out to me and say, you know, thank you for sharing this. I have gone through the same thing and I had never told anybody because I wasn't comfortable with it, which again, like everybody's on their own journey. And if I can speak for other people and raise awareness when others don't want to, are not comfortable sharing their story, then, you know, I'm glad that I'm able to do that. So friends all over the place who would check in with me, who sent me care packages and things in the mail. And that stuff was always like, I was just so grateful for all of that and helped me keep going. And then, you know, I would say myself as well. Like I was committed to supporting myself through this and not really getting down on it, remaining optimistic about the future and, you know, everything that was, I was going to get to experience and to be, you know, to kind of make it through it with resilience. And two big things that I leveraged throughout the hardest times. One was the nature of impermanence and remembering that this is not going to last forever. And I will get through this. And then the other one was gratitude. And I would, two things I would do every day. I would meditate every single day. And I would also write my gratitude every day, something I do regularly anyway, but I really doubled down on that. No matter how bad I felt, I would take out my journal and write down my gratitude for the day, for my family, for my friends, for the nurses who helped me and the doctors, you know, for the beautiful weather that we were having, you know, just anything. And I would finally start writing down every day that I was grateful for this cancer. And, you know, it's kind of a good way to convince yourself that this is a good thing.
Yeah, right, and, right.
I started to believe it, and I really do believe it now that it was a blessing because it gives me an opportunity to speak to you and speak to others who I would never get to speak to and hopefully help others who are going through a similar experience. So I'm grateful for all of that time, and I'm especially grateful for my wife and my mom and my family and my friends who supported me through all of this.
Well, I asked that question because I think it's important for listeners to hear that, because I always found too, when I had my different cancer diagnoses, you know, my friends, my family, it really, you need that kind of support. And I should have your wife come on and talk with us. I've had thyroid cancer, I guess, three times. The first time I had my, I had my thyroid out when I was 25.
Okay.
So, you know, and you take thyroid replacement and then a couple just reoccurrences with a lump they missed, I guess. But that whole thing with the radioactive iodine, which is what they recommend. I've done it twice, but, you know, I start to question it too, but that's a whole nother podcast.
It's a whole nother story, but like to your point, having family and a support system is really important and not everybody has that.
Right.
But I do think there are many people because of fear or ego or whatever, try to pretend or feel like they need to do things on their own or they don't want to put other people out. Like, I'm not going to ask people for help because I don't want to bother them. But you really do need help to get through these things. You can't do it on your own. And it's depressing to try to do things on your own. Like, you need the system. And I mean, there were many days where I couldn't really have done much on my own. And so if I didn't have my wife, I think I would have had to move back in with my mom, you know, at least for a short time, or have her be there every day to help take care of me, because it's just, it's really tough to get through that time when you're on chemo.
Yeah, it is. And I've always been, I'm very open. I mean, what do you want to know about me? I'll tell you. So I've always talked about it, but you made a good point too, that some people don't want to share. And your story may help some of those people that don't really want to go down that road of sharing. So,
absolutely.
You mentioned early in the podcast that you reinvented yourself in when COVID hit, but I know you had your business going, what, it's been more than a decade. So tell us about the business and then the book that you wrote on Own Your Own Career and Your Life.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, I've been in corporate consulting for about a decade. I worked for a consulting company for a long time. And then 2018, I made a transition to becoming an independent consultant. And in early in 2020, I moved away from an organization I had been affiliated with, a great organization, just we decided that it was best for us to work separately and partner on different things. And so I went out completely on my own. And my whole business before that was selling and running in-person training programs. I ran a lot of workshops on leadership development, strategy, finance, things like that. And I was on planes a lot, flying all over the world, running these workshops. And when COVID hit, it shut everything down. It all went away. Clients went away and said, okay, we're not investing in these things anymore. And we can't get our people together in person anyway. And so that's why I mentioned I needed to like completely reinvent my business. I had, you know, obviously moved to doing some virtual things. I had hosted an in-person conference with a friend of mine in January 2020 that was a big success, and the business was growing as a result. And then obviously all that got shut down. So part of the pivot was I launched a membership community to really keep people connected in the niche that I work in, which is talent development. And it ended up being a godsend because that community is essentially like I run this community. There's about 100 members in there now, and it provides recurring income for me. People pay monthly and annually to belong to it. And that really kept me going while I was going through the cancer and I couldn't do a lot of other work. And, you know, they really stood up and supported me in many ways. So I'm grateful for that community. And I mentioned I was already working on my book in 2020 when COVID changed everything. So I started to work on building a business around that. The book is called Own Your Career, Own Your Life. The tagline is Stop Drifting and Take Control of Your Future. And it's because I've been in corporate consulting for 10 years. I've traveled around the world. I've watched leaders in different companies and seen what success looks like. But I also observed a lot of people kind of drifting through their careers, operating in reaction mode, waiting for other people to tell them what to do, you know, not really having a clear plan or idea of where they wanted to go. And I wanted to provide a guidebook for people to really take ownership of their careers and start living with intention and prepare for the future, whatever might come, because, you know, there's a lot of uncertainty in the world and not everybody wants to go run their own business like I did. I think most people just want to be happy and fulfilled in their career. And so I wanted to create a resource for that. And so I published the book in November 2020, and I've been working on building a business around that. And now I do a lot of speaking in large companies on how to own your career. I have a training program and an online course, and I'm launching a membership community for people who want to go deeper on owning their career as well. And just teaching important skills like self-awareness, setting a vision, setting and achieving goals, doing things to prepare for the future, like investing in continuous learning, building a network, building a personal brand, and then a lot on mindset as well. I had a chapter in the book on mindset. I'm starting to do more and more work on that. And I just feel, you know, at the time I felt like I knew a lot about mindset, but now having gone through this cancer journey, I feel infinitely more qualified, right? Like, yes. I dealt with one of the ultimate challenges and made it through. And I think my mindset was a big part of how I made it through, you know, remaining optimistic and positive throughout and no matter how tough it was.
You know, you said a lot that really just hit home for me because, especially, you know, as I've gotten, you know, older and spent more time in my career, I think people, that whole thing about a vision and having goals and things like that, it's really important. I have to say, I probably didn't do that the way I could have, but I think.
Me neither. That's why I wrote the book, because I had no idea what I was doing through most of my 20s. And then, you know, finally started to turn things around in my mid 30s. And I was like, oh, I've learned a lot through doing all this personal development work. I think I can help other people with this as well, which is a big reason why I wrote the book.
You know, it's a universal need. I mean, it's lots to investigate.
Definitely.
So you've been through this and you're very comfortable talking about your health. Why do you think some men aren't? Why do they not want to investigate if they see a lump or talk about it? What's the roadblock?
That's an interesting question. I think there's an element of masculinity that an ego that makes people feel like I should be able to handle anything. And it's, if I ask for help, it means I'm weak. If I go see a doctor, right, like something could be wrong with me. And we don't like to feel like, as men, we don't like to feel like we're weak, right? I think there's an element of inconvenience, like, I don't want to take time to go do that. And then who knows what it could turn into. And, or I don't want to bother other people. I think there's a lot of factors to it, but it does seem that men more than women tend to put these things off and, you know, okay. And not, you know, not go see the doctor or investigate these things when they really should. Right. I'm proof of that. And we talked before we started recording about Lance Armstrong, who I think was 21 when he had found out he had testicular cancer, and he waited way too long. I mean, you read his memoir. He was basically like coughing up blood and was like, I don't know, maybe I should go see the doctor.
Oh boy. I didn't know.
I mean, it was just really, really bad. And then, you know, he found it. I think if he had waited just another couple of weeks, he probably wouldn't be here and wouldn't have gone on to win all those, you know, Tour de France's that he did. So it really is amazing. And I think that's why, like, another reason why I have been speaking up so much is, number one, I want to raise awareness about prevention and nutrition and health. And like, here are the things you can do to heal things naturally and prevent, you know, possibly getting these things. But number two is to, you know, check regularly. And if you find a lump, you know, men on your testicle, women on your breast, like, go to a doctor and get it checked out. You know, there's not much of a downside. Well, obviously you could find out bad news, but it's better to find out early and be able to take care of it than putting things off. So I've been spreading that awareness, and I've had people message me and say, thank you, I've got this thing checked out and it turned out to be fine, but I was worried. And, you know, lots of people have been going to get checked, and that's what we need.
Yes, you're right. If we can help one person, it's a good thing. So you mentioned a lot of cool things you're doing with your communities and your book. Can you give us some ways to find you, Andy, like URLs or?
Sure. Yeah. I mean, I'm all over social media. The most important one I want to give, if you have any listeners who are going through cancer or have family members who are experiencing cancer, I created a guide, sort of a document outlining all my story and all the research that I did, recommendations on diet, on supplements, on books that I read that are interesting, some other podcast interviews that I've given, and we'll add this one to the document after it's public. And you can grab that for free by going to andystorch.com/cancer, andystorch.com/cancer. And I'm not asking for anything other than putting your email address. I just want to be able to send updates if I think of anything, but I wanted to make that available because a lot of people were asking me questions after seeing my posts on social media about, you know, my diet and some of the changes I made. And look, there's, like we talked about early on, there's no hard and fast rules. I think there's, you know, new research and things coming out all the time, but start with a basis of doing some research. And maybe you don't do everything I did, but if you pull one or two things on there and you switch your diet to plant-based, or you start meditating more, or you use the high dose vitamin C, whatever it may be, you know, every little thing can absolutely help. So grab that, andystorch.com/cancer. And then I'm very active on LinkedIn. I'm on there every day. That's how you and I connected. I'm on Instagram, Twitter. Twitter's mostly about NFTs.
Okay.
And Facebook as well. So I'm on social, and you know, we mentioned the podcast earlier.
Okay. So what's next for you, Andy? You've got a lot going. So what's up ahead?
Yeah, there's a lot of stuff going on. I just launched a new community from my book, the Own Your Career Community, which I think you can find by going to ownyourcareeronyourlife.com/community. And of course, if you haven't read the book yet, that book is available on Amazon, Own Your Career, Own Your Life. And there's free bonus resources on the website as well, ownyourcareeronyourlife.com. So I'm building that brand. I'm speaking in more companies, looking to grow my corporate business so that I can make more of an impact. My vision for my career is that I do inspire thousands or millions of people to take ownership of their careers and live life more intentionally. And so I'm out there speaking in a lot of different companies. I'm building, you know, this new community. I want to travel more with my family and continue to find ways to make an impact in the world while taking care of my own health. So I am several months removed now from, you know, dealing with the cancer. I'm a couple months removed from getting the, you know, all clear diagnosis. That does not mean that I'm resting on my laurels, as they say, or just saying like, okay, I can get back to quote unquote normal American life. I'm still you know, on a plant-based diet. I'm still juicing most days. I'm still trying to, you know, I obviously have some cookies and stuff here and there, but trying to eat pretty healthy and live a very healthy lifestyle, because as you know, you already talked about, like, these things can come back, right? So I want to do everything I can and remain vigilant and continue to raise awareness for others. And so whatever I can to make an impact on the world and make the world a better place, that's what I'm trying to do.
Well, that's wonderful. And I think you're a great example too of things that can happen that you can do once you get through a testicular cancer diagnosis and journey. And wonderful. So much going on with your life and your business that will help other people. So I congratulate you on that. So my last question, if you had any song that, you know, you hear and you just have to jump in and sing along, what's that song?
Oh gosh, there's so many. Any song that when I hear it, I have to jump in and sing along. Gosh, right now, I'm just my kids and I, my kids love the song Bang by AJR. We listen to that a lot in the car. Lately, my daughter is always requesting, what is the song called? It's like the date night Applebee's song that came up through TikTok. That's now, I can't remember the name of it, but that one is popular. And then I would say, what's the, that song by Ed Sheeran that's been like on the radio all the time? No, you know what? I'll go with, the Dua Lipa song with Elton John that has been on just a ton. Like, I still love, when that comes on, I'll just jump in and sing to that one. I think it's not called Rocket Man because they never say Rocket Man. It's called Cold Heart.
And, okay.
This is a fun, I don't know if you haven't heard that one. Dua Lipa, who's a young English, singer out of England, who just did like kind of a duo with Elton John where they remixed Rocket Man, but they don't ever say Rocket Man. They call it Cold Heart.
Okay.
And, it's a fun song
to listen to. I have to look for that one. Mine was, I'm a music of the 60s person still. Mm. But I like The Temptations, anything on their greatest hits album, like Ain't Too Proud to Beg is one of my favorites.
Oh, I like it. Okay, cool. I'm familiar with a lot of that music. Yeah. I'm a Beatles fan as well.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Good stuff.
All right. Well, I appreciate your time, Andy. I'm so glad that you could join us. And thank you.
Thank you, Joyce. I appreciate the opportunity and all that you're doing to make an impact. And I hope we can help some people.
Yeah, I think we can. So thanks. Thank you for joining me today on Don't Give Up on Testicular Cancer from the Max Mallory Foundation. Go to maxmalloryfoundation.com to learn more about testicular cancer, to donate, and send your suggestions for guests on the podcast. And join me next time for Don't Give Up on Testicular Cancer.